So, how long has it been since you've flown up along the Mississippi River?
In a small plane?
In a small plane.
In an infinite length, I guess. I've never done that before.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Even when you were researching for your book?
Never got up in a plane.
Wow. It was that...
I always like landing in New Orleans when the plane comes over the river. I always like looking down at the shipping. Reminder of how important the river is to the country. But no, in a small plane, no, never going up the river. Mm-hmm. Flown on what Northwest, you know, was still Northwest. We fly to Memphis a couple of times. That's pretty much going up the river.
Have you ever gone up the river by boat?
Going to Memphis by boat, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was quite a sight. I left at night and going past the Norco refinery where they were flaring off and at night that is from the river. That's an extraordinary sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I was in Europe, I started hearing about the river rising, and it was my understanding that there were some deaths upriver.
I think there were 30 deaths.
About 30 deaths, but those weren't in Louisiana, and I don't know was it as far down as Arkansas, or was it?
No, they were on the upper river. I think most of them were people who got caught in flash floods.
Uh-huh.
There may have been others, but I think that was most of them.
And so those were flash floods, but how were they related to the river?
Okay.
Well, we didn't see anything of that nature. How would you compare the flooding that we saw today, the level of the water, compared to 2011?
At this point, it's significantly below 2011. Right now, you're talking about roughly 1.25 million cubic feet of water a second. And compare that Niagara Falls in flood is about 200,000 cubic feet a second. And normally, it's a lot less than that when Niagara Falls is not flooding. But in 2011, it was over 2 million. So you're talking about an enormous increase in water in 2011 over what was out there today.
Uh-huh. And what was the cause in 2011? Is it the season, the time of the year? Was it snow melt in 2011 that...
Well, it's always a combination. You're not going to get a great flood on the Mississippi unless you're getting a great flood on the Ohio, or at least a flood on the Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
1937 and 2011, it was two big floods on the Ohio. And, you know, it's a combination of precipitation and snowmelt. If you remember, the 2011 flood was actually pretty late, so I don't think snowmelt had a lot of impact on that flood.
That was early May, I believe. Huh? May 7th?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. That's pretty late for influence from snowmelt.
Uh-huh.
When you're getting floods in March, in April maybe, early April, you have snow. But by May, most of that's pretty much gone. It's primarily precipitation. This year, of course, it was also a lot of precipitation, not snow melt. I mean, obviously snow is precipitation, but it's mostly just rain rather than snow.
Mm-hmm. So do you anticipate that it's going to rise much higher than what we saw today?
Not on this flight crest. Uh-huh. Not in terms of what's been forecast. The concern is you've already got saturated ground. You have the natural, even when the river goes back down, sort of the natural reservoir that the river itself forms is still going to be pretty much full. So if you get a lot of further precipitation, then we could get a very serious flood. Right now on the lower river, and lower refers to from the confluence of the Ohio to the Gulf of Mexico. You know, this is a flood, and it's something you take seriously. You check the levees every day, and look for sandbars, look for slides, you look for all sorts of problems. I don't want to minimize it, but you know, the system can easily contain, if it operates properly, the amount of water that's in the river right now. You start getting multiple crests, and then you create, then things get a little dicey. And according to some people at NOAA, I actually checked with a few weeks ago, the long-term forecast for the rest of the spring is fortunately not very wet. So hopefully that forecast is accurate and nothing serious will happen this year. I will say, you know, in 1926, that was a significant El Nino year. 1927 in the spring, there was a tremendous amount of storms, and you got the record flood with the results in 1927 of roughly 1% of the population of the United States was flooded. The flood protection system was built to contain something like the 1927 flood. I'm not sure that it would. I hope it would. 2011 approached that, probably did not exceed it. And hope, you know, 2011 was pretty dicey. And I just do not see that again.
Who is in charge of the Corps of Engineers? Is in charge of the levees up and down the Mississippi River?
Well, the levees are actually local levee districts. The maintenance and operation of the levee system is each local levee district, of which there are dozens from the length of the river. The decision-making on things like opening spillways and floodways, that's the Corps of Engineers.
Uh-huh. So, despite the fact that it's a navigable water body and important for interstate commerce, it's still local levees that have, I guess they just have the obligation to protect and maintain the levees. Is that correct?
Yes.
And are they trained?
Do they? Every levee district I know is fully professional.
Yeah. Well, that's reassuring. Well, what did you see on today's flyover that was interesting to you? We went from...
Well, of course, you know, I know the system on paper. I've seen most of it from ground level. I had not seen it before. It was kind of embarrassing to me that I couldn't even locate Morganza. I had to fly around and figure out where it was. I would have thought that I'd been able to just say, you know, go this way and go over there and so forth and so on.
It does get a little bit confusing up in the air.
At least your first time up there.
Yeah. So are you,
I was going to go to my office, which is in on Canal Street, 2 blocks from Claiborne.
Okay. Just let me off on Rampart. That's good.
Okay. Yeah.
So, well, now that you've seen the Bonacari spillway, for example, is it as impressive as you have?
Well, of course, it's technically it's open, but it's operating at 10 to 15% of capacity right now. Mm-hmm. I've been there when it was running pretty much full mm-hmm. bore, mm-hmm. when it is vastly more impressive. Mm-hmm. Right now, it almost looks more like leakage with the lake, mm-hmm. Although they do have several of their bays open. You know, in 2008, in 2011, 1997, there was a tremendous amount of water going out that, and it got your attention. That is not the case right now, and hopefully it won't need to be the case.
Do you think that communities are prepared enough for a really high river?
No, I don't think most people take seriously the threat of a river flood in this part of the country. Mm-hmm. I think in the Midwest, where their protection system is not as high level as it is down here, they are concerned about it maybe and, mm-hmm. and worry about it. You know, on the lower part of the river, the protection is much greater than it is in the upper part. Mm-hmm.
Well, what could go wrong on the lower part?
Well, what goes wrong is, you know, a levee break. Obviously,
are there certain parts of the levee along the river in certain towns that it's more vulnerable than others?
Well, there are two things. First, a few years ago, a lot of the levee system, almost 150 miles of it, actually, was below grade, which is obviously quite a bit. And some of that, I mean, in the entire levee system on both sides of the river is, you know, somewhat over 1,000 miles, maybe, I don't know the exact, but it's probably 1,200-1,400 miles when you figure both sides of the river. And for 150 miles of that to be below grade, that's a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. And some of that was dangerously below grade, and I'm talking about 6 feet below grades. You know, fortunately, that was not great stretches of it, but it only takes one spot, because if the river starts pouring over any particular area, then that runs the risk of creating a breach. The overtopping will, if the levee goes out, you're going to take on not just that one stretch of it, the forces will create a much, much wider breach. For example, in 1927, probably there were two levee breaks, both of which poured probably double the flow or more than double the flow of Niagara Falls out of the river. And just overtopping over a narrow stretch could create something like that. Mm-hmm. One of the concerns about a flood this early is that what happens, imagine somebody's leaning against you and you're leaning against them, and all of a sudden they remove, you know, one side, one person removes himself, and then you fall over. Mm-hmm. The pressure of the river actually pushes against the levee, and it's a little bit like that. If the river goes down rapidly, then when that pressure is released, you have to worry about slides in the levee, mm-hmm. that some of that levee will slide back into the river. Mm-hmm. If you then get another flood coming down the river, before you have an opportunity to repair that, then you've got a weaker levee, and one of the things you worry about, you get a flood like this in January, what about the rest of the year? you know, there are concerns. At the moment, there's nothing that you can't take care of. And it doesn't seem like that much of a threat. I don't want to minimize it. It is a flood. And this, you know, I talk about cubic feet a second. 1 cubic feet a second is enough to cover in a day an acre with 1 foot of water. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, 2 acres. So if you have 1 million cubic feet of water a second, and there's more than 1 million in the river right now, that's enough to cover 2 million acres of land in a day with 1 foot of water. And that water is going to keep coming and coming and coming. River floods, unlike hurricanes, last for a long time. Hurricane lasts for a few hours. River flood lasts at least 4 days, and in some cases 4 weeks, and in really unusual cases for multiple weeks. At least on the lower Mississippi, depends on the river. Some river floods come and go quite rapidly. On the Ohio, they move much faster, for example. But anyway.
Okay. So nothing to worry about right now. But clearly something to keep an eye on in the coming months, particularly if we get a lot of rain and a lot of snow along the Ohio River. Is that...
Well, I mean, you get...
And then this...
As a general rule, roughly a little over half the total water in the lower Mississippi comes out of the Ohio. Mm-hmm. That's not to say there isn't a lot of water coming out of the upper Mississippi, the Missouri, you know, the Arkansas. Obviously, there are a lot of other tributaries besides the Ohio. 1927, again, which is the greatest flood on record, there was a flood on the Ohio. It was not a great flood on the Ohio. What was the killer was that every other basin from the west was a record flood. That's a bit of an unusual circumstance, and particularly the Arkansas and White Rivers had extraordinary amounts of water coming out of them compared to any other flood year that you could ever, you know, look at. I don't think I'm being particularly articulate.
No, it's fine though. But the old river control structure, right, was it necessary to open that for this flood?
Well, I mean, the river control structure is always open.
Ah, okay.
Okay, by law, as a matter of fact, 30% of the water and sediment in the Mississippi River is supposed to go down the Atchafalaya. The old river control structure is there to constantly adjust the flow. So there's always water.
Okay.
Almost always water coming out of the old river control structure. The question is Morganza, and how much water you put down the old river control structure, whether you open Morganza. Mm-hmm. Whether you open, there's another floodway which has never been used on the west side of the Atchafalaya River. Mm-hmm. As we speak, the Corps is considering whether to open Morganza or not. As we speak, they have not yet made a decision.
Well,
if they do, it still won't be a lot of water coming down there. You know, they have an operations manual that says when there's a certain amount of water and it's rising, then they are supposed to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. For the Bonnie Carey spillway, if it's 17 feet on the gauge at Carrollton, 1.25 million CFS in the river and rising, then they're supposed to open the spillway. They defined it in a way to try to minimize the decision making for any individual.
Mm-hmm. Did Did Governor Jindal declare an emergency?
I believe he did. Yeah.
I thought I had heard that as well when I was away. Was that, if he did, would it have been warranted? In other words, does that kick into a preparedness process? Partly that.
Partly opens the way to federal funding and other requests and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sort of a technocratic, bureaucratic decision.
Okay. So, but in terms of the situation now, it doesn't appear to be an emergency. The water doesn't look like it's as high as it was in 2011. They didn't open Morganza. The Boticary spillway is...
Yeah, I mean, there's significant... There's expected to be roughly 1.5 million cubic feet a second.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, in 2011, there was...
2 million.
Over 2 million. It was more like 2.2.
Okay.
So, there's vastly more, almost 50% more water.
Okay. No real threat to us here in New Orleans at the moment.
Not from this crest. In fact, New Orleans is probably the safest place in the entire river from a river flood.
Yeah.
Because spillways, you know, above the city.
Uh-huh. What about with navigation? I always wonder, have they curbed the amount of shipping that is taking place on the river right now because of the high water?
Well, high water is a problem for it somewhat. Not so much the port up here, but it becomes a problem for the barge traffic.
Because if one of these big barges or one of these big ships were to lose control and hit the Batcher...
That is potentially dangerous. Also, they used to have tows sort of tying up on the levee, which they're not supposed to do. In fact, I recall when I was on the Flood Protection Authority, one of the fights we had with the Coast Guard was to get them to enforce that because they weren't mm-hmm. paying a lot of attention to it.
Mm-hmm. How serious is the risk to us now? If it's not the water being high enough, there's not enough cubic feet per second, then...
Well, there's plenty of water. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of water. The whole flood protection system is designed to keep not more than 1.25 million cubic feet a second going past New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
There is fairly close to that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other stuff hasn't really kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But that's one threat, right? It's just the water level and the water the increase of flow in front of the city. But the other threat is the ships. So is it just as dangerous of a threat with a ship losing control and hitting the Batcher? Could that cause a catastrophic levee failure, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, it could, in theory.
Yeah. And it's more dangerous
to
do ship in high water.
Yeah.
And so, but have restrictions been put in place because of the high water?
I don't know a lot about what the triggers are for the navigation restrictions.
Uh-huh.
I guess because when I was on the levee board, we didn't have any jurisdiction over them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were worried about things that were our responsibility.
Because you probably remember that ship lost control and hit the Riverwalk back in, I guess, the 90s.
There has been more than one instance where there's been a collision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've been out to collisions before with, like, oil tankers, and we've had some near misses in terms of spillage from the vessels into the water. But I'm less familiar with ships actually running into the Batcher and just how quite dangerous that is. If an out of control ship, some of these ships are really big. If one of them hit a levee in New Orleans, is the potential that the river would crash through the levee?
Well, I'll tell you one thing: you're not going to. You might leave that ship jammed in there until it.
Uh huh. Right. Okay, so we're not as safe as We have a false sense of security as long as we have these big ships out there, you know?
No,
I'd rather be an
alarmist when there's...
Well, I understand.
About.
I understand.
I mean, is there any risk? Yeah, there's some risk.
I understand. But what I've noticed is that people don't quite comprehend the dangers. We've got these oil tankers that pass through the middle of the city, you know, along the Riverwalk, and they're carrying more and more of this Bakken crude, which is extremely... And this tar sands crude, which is extremely more flammable and explosive. If you remember what happened at... what is it? Le Chat Moran in Canada. I don't remember that's tonight's exact pronunciation, but one of these trains exploded and eviscerated the neighborhood.
Right.
We've got the same stuff getting shipped through New Orleans now. And it didn't used to be this way. We didn't used to have this type of crude getting shipped to the city because it wasn't getting shipped anywhere. But now it is.
Well, you're talking about different threats. You're talking about...
Right, but the public is but the public doesn't understand that the threat of these rails. And what I'm getting at, what I'm curious to know is, what are the real threats that we're facing that we're not being told about? I mean, it's better to have an understanding and appreciation of what the dangers are than just to live, you know, like everything's going to be okay.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Well,
you know, is there any... You know, I don't think what the cargo is matters. You know, is there a risk of a ship... A greater risk in high water of a ship losing control? Yes,
yeah.
There is. Is that a reason to shut down the port? At this point, with the currents moving at this speed, although earlier I already said that I am not an expert on... navigation and prefer not to comment on things mm-hmm. where I don't feel that I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, you know, I don't see any reason why you would close down the port at this mm-hmm. time. There are periods when they do consider things risky enough that they put all sorts of restrictions on shipping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible that some of those have been imposed, and I don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do, because I live so close to the river.
Yeah.
And I fly over it all the time. And so I'm a lot more connected to the river than a lot of people, my neighbors are.
Yeah.
Because they don't see it. There's a big, great white wall in front of it.
Right.
But I have a real appreciation for the power of it and the danger of it, especially after reading your book.
Okay.
So.
Well, after this, I'm probably going to go to my computer and look up exactly what the restrictions are and when they're triggered.
Okay.
Either that, or I'll call somebody I know and have them do what work.
Okay, that's usually a good idea. I like to do that. Okay, cool.